41, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, 31. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, 12. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. You will see this verse on the screen before you, and you will also see it on the back of your last Sunday's bulletin. So if you will, please, get last Sunday's bulletin if you don't have it, and you will see the verse on the back of the bulletin, James 1:21. I've been told that it takes 500 gallons to baptize someone and 10 drops to keep them away from church. But I can see that that didn't happen to you tonight. We've had at least 10 drops or more, and you're here. So I'm glad to see that you've made it. John received 10,000 drops of rain. He came in all soaked. He's been sprinkled also, so he's been baptized, and now tonight he's been sprinkled. James chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. We are in a magnificent verse of Scripture. It seems like that we begin studying a verse and we spend several sessions on it. And when I come to Wednesday night and I'm taking a look for the last time at the verse, knowing that on the next Sunday we'll go to the next verse, there seems to be somewhat of a sadness in my heart because I feel like that there are so many more things that need to be said about that verse, and we have not said it. We're going to do our best tonight to reiterate a few things and bring ourselves to the closing part of this verse and see, I believe, some things that will be extremely helpful to us. And before we do, let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the time we have together. We're thankful for your wonderful word. We are the privileged individuals in that we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We not only have the word of God, but we have the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have so many spiritual blessings, and we have not only the spiritual blessings, but the logistical blessings of life. And so we are thankful this evening that you care for us. You've given us the assurance in your word that you would always be there, never to leave us, never to forsake us. And so we thank you tonight for your grace and blessings. And in these moments we're studying tonight, we pray that we will have hearts that are ready to hear, accept, retain, and apply the wonderful truths of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I begin the scripture reading, I wanted to share with you the fact that we got just a little while ago an email from Pakistan, and Emmanuel Roshan said, "I hope everything is fine. Winters are approaching and days are getting shorter in Pakistan. I must let you know that Kashif has been trying to finish his degree, and he might get scholarship to go to United Kingdom to do his degree. So please keep him in your prayers. Please continue to pray for our church here in Pakistan as more and more violence against Christians is increasing and life is becoming very, very hard. Looking forward to hearing from you soon. With prayers, Pastor Emmanuel Roshan, Grace Bible Ministry, Pakistan." You'll pray for him and pray for all of our missionaries. Beginning our reading with verse 16 of James chapter 1. "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among His creatures. James chapter 1, verse 19. Know this, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. James 1, 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And now James 1, 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to deliver your souls. I'm going to share tonight again with you what I would consider a very unique translation of this verse, and then we'll go back and look at some of the other translations. James 1:21 says, having removed all pollutions. Having removed all pollutions. In parentheses, I wrote mental attitude sins. Having removed all pollutions and the overflow of wickedness. In parentheses, I put there sins of the tongue and overt sins. So the first part of the verse could be translated, having removed all pollutions, mental attitude sins, and the overflow of wickedness, sins of the tongue and overt sins. Then the verse continues, receive and retain in the spirit of meekness the impregnated word, which is able to deliver your souls. This verse is translated in so many unique ways. Get rid of all uncleanness, and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness is the Amplified New Testament. Another translation says, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word. Another translation says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can deliver you. Another translation says, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the message that God has planted in your hearts, for it is strong enough to save, deliver your souls. The Weiss translation goes like this, put away every moral uncleanness and vulgarity and wickedness, which is abounding. In meekness, therefore, receive the implanted word, which is able to deliver your souls. This is a magnificent verse of Scripture. We've looked at the first part of the verse. We emphasize the subject, persistent obedience to God's word. What a magnificent subject that is, last Sunday morning. Persistent obedience to God's word. You and I have the responsibility of being persistent in our intake of the spiritual truths of God's Word. Persistent obedience to God's Word. Last Sunday morning in the second session, we looked at the subject, a teachable spirit. And that comes from the middle part of this verse, which emphasizes meekness or humility and the fact that all of us have the responsibility of having a desire to receive faithfully and consistently the communication and impartation of God's wonderful Word. So tonight we're looking at four words. We're looking at the word hear, accept, retain, and apply. I would encourage you to write those words down because we're going to be looking at each one of them. The first one is hear. The second one is accept. The third one is retain. And the fourth one is apply. We'll analyze those words as we go through the exegetical study, first of all, of James 1:21. This verse begins with a little word dio, D-I-O, which is an inferential conjunction. We've translated it wherefore, which you see on the back of your bulletin and on the screen before you. But we could also translate it for this reason. For this reason. James is saying here, by the Spirit of God, to the people and to us, I believe, For this reason, we have the responsibility of doing something, putting away, laying aside. When I look at the second word in this Greek text, I see that it is the word apotiphemi. If you're looking at the back of your bulletin, which is close up for you to see, you will notice that there is the Greek word in parentheses, which is the aorist middle participle, nominative masculine plural, and then the root word is apotiphemi. APO means away from. Tiphemi means to place or to put. And so when the word comes together as a compound word, it means out of the way, to put out of the way. Every believer has the responsibility of putting aside, laying aside, pulling up the old weeds of indifference and sin, and moving along in the Christian life. The aorist tense emphasizes the point of time in history. The middle voice says that if you will put aside these filthy things of life, you'll be benefited by it. The participle, of course, is circumstantial. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness. We stop on the word all, which means all without exception. I would like for you to write for yourself a definition, all without exception. For this reason, we have the responsibility as believers of putting away, laying aside, pulling up the weeds of indifference and sin, every area of that which is not in accordance with God's wonderful plan. That's the reason why the Scripture says, get rid of all uncleanness and the rampant outgrowth of wickedness. This Scripture says, put away all filthiness and overflowing wickedness. This Scripture says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of the filth and the evil in your eyes, having put away the moral uncleanness, vulgarity, wickedness. I'm giving these verses of Scripture from the various translations to let you see how powerful this particular passage is. Let's move along now. We see Dio. We've seen the verb apotiphemi. We've seen the word which means all without exception. We come now to the word filthiness. This word is unique in that it is the Greek word roparia. And I've written it out for myself so that I could pronounce it correctly. It's H-R-O-O, is the way you pronounce it, P-A-R-E-E-A-H. Now, you're probably not interested in knowing how to pronounce it, but let me just tell you that the word means dirty, filthy, defiled, sordid, corrupt, dishonor. We've translated it, as you can see, filthiness. Ruparos is the root word, which is H-R-U-P-A-R-O-S, Ruparos. It comes, I'm told, from a word that is used in the medical field, which is Rupos, which is R-H-U-P-O-S. That first R has a rough breathing mark on it, which is the Greek letter for H. The medical term emphasizes wax, wax in the ear. That's an interesting way to see it. So if you want to write this word down, write it out like this, H-R-U-P-O-S, a medical term, medical reference, wax in the ear. What this is saying from a spiritual standpoint is remove the hearing stops. In other words, if there's wax in the ear, then the wax would eliminate the possibility of hearing properly. Remove the hearing stops is what this means. To make a spiritual application of this, it means that sin makes us deaf to truth. Sin makes us deaf to truth. What a magnificent conclusion. And I believe that that's the reason why theologians have a heyday with words like this, because of the fact of the meaning. The word filthiness means dirt, filthy, defiled, sordid, corrupt, dishonor. Now we have, wherefore, putting away all filthiness. The next word is also unique in that it is translated superfluity. S-U-P-E-R-F-L-U-I-T-Y, superfluity. It's the Greek word parisia, P-E-R-I-S-S-I-A-H, is the way you pronounce it. The word is used here in this fashion, parisian, parisian, which means over and above. It could be translated abundance, preeminence, residue, excessive, superfluous. All of those words would be good synonyms for this Greek word, parisian. Abundance, preeminence, residue, excessive, superfluous. Now what God is saying here, I believe, is that you and I have the responsibility of putting aside, pulling up the weeds of indifference and sin, and anything and everything that would hinder us from fulfilling God's plan for our lives. The next word is the little word evil, a word that means vicious, wickedness, malice, base. That's the first part of the verse which we gave emphasis on last Sunday as we dealt with the subject of persistent obedience to God's Word. A teachable spirit now begins with the next little preposition. Right in the middle of this verse, we have the little preposition in. Do you see that? E-N in the Greek. Epsilon, nu. It's followed by the word praetes. P-R-A-U-T-E-S. Praetes. Praetes is the Greek word which means humility, gentleness, free from malice. When I looked at that word several weeks ago, trying to decide what the second sermon would be as far as the title was concerned, I put down a teachable spirit. And I believe that that's a good title for it. When you look at this word in praetes, which means humility, gentleness, free from malice, it's an emphasis upon the ability of the believer to have a desire for God's Word, to have a desire to receive faithfully and consistently and continually God's Word. That's what I call a teachable spirit. That's what I believe you folk have, and I admire you and appreciate that. When I stand here, I realize that there are some days when people come into this auditorium who may not have a teachable spirit. But by and large, most of the people who come into this auditorium have a desire to receive the dissemination of God's wonderful Word, and they receive it in humility, with gentleness, free from malice. They do what the rest of this verse says, and I'm happy now to begin to deal with the last part of the verse. It says, in meekness, receive ye the implanted Word. We're going to stop for a few moments on that word, receive. Notice, if you will, it's a verb in the imperative mood, which is a verb of command. This is an interesting verb because it is presented to us in such a fashion that it tells us that we have the responsibility to receive it. And it's to be received as receiving a command. The reason I'm taking a few seconds to turn to another bulletin. On the bulletin last Sunday, at the close of the first session, one of our men came up who translates from the German translation. And he translated James 1:21, and he gave it to me. And I want to read it, read the translation from the German. For this reason, lay down all uncleanness. And then he put in German some of the words and translated them for me. For this reason, lay down all uncleanness. And then the German words, overmore excess. To get a clean, clear presentation, here's what it says. For this reason, believers have the responsibility of laying down, putting aside, all uncleanness and the overmore excess of the badness. Over, above, excess of the badness. Unique way of presenting it from the German translation. Then he emphasized something, and I thought this was unique. And it says, and take up the implanted word. And he explained the difference between receive and take up. And I want you to see what he was saying, and I think it's very unique. You can sit there tonight and receive by just hearing what is being said. Or on the other hand, you can see this as a command from God. And you can reach out mentally and grasp it. Take it. It's not a matter of sitting there and saying, oh, that's just pretty good. I'm glad that old John is here tonight, or Henry, or Matthew, or whatever. I'm glad he's here to hear this. That's not what it's saying. It is saying that it's very personal. This is something that we're not to just sit and let it roll off our minds like water off of a duck's back. We are to say, I'm hearing it. I accept it. I am believing it. I desire to retain it. I want to apply it. I am reaching out and obeying this command. I'm taking it. I'm grasping it. Do you see it? I thought that was a good... Now, he didn't go into that long a discussion, but he gave me some room where I could discuss it for you. I like the German translation. Take up. And I translated it, grasp. It's a command. Grasp. Most of you by now are seeing that this verb is an aorist, middle, imperative verb. Second person plural of decomai, D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. Omai is a deponent verb. We won't go into all that. The middle voice says that if a person is reaching out and grasping, when the Word of God is being communicated, and you're not just sitting there and letting it roll off the preacher's tongue, and you're saying, that sounds pretty good. You're reaching out with your mind and you're taking hold of it. And you're saying, I'm going to obey that command because it's going to be to my benefit. There's the middle voice. You see why I get excited about these verbs and the way they're used? It's a command. Decomai. Receive. But do more than just sit there and listen to it. Reach out and grasp it. Take it. To receive something that's being transmitted. To welcome. To put out a welcome mat. To receive. I knew that was going to happen sooner or later. Bob, it's not yours tonight, is it? You're free. As our aunt used to say, and still does, when we are leaving town from South Carolina, she says, when you get to that point, you're home free. Brian, you're home free now. Okay. He acts so embarrassed. You should have seen Bob last time when his phone went off. I was watching him. He just, like he went into shock for a few seconds. And then he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. And I didn't say a word. Not like I'm picking on Brian tonight. But anyway, he got up and went outside. Came back in later. He took it up, didn't he? That's this verb right here. aorist, middle imperative, grasp, take up. Take up what? Let's stop now for a few moments on this and see what it says. The implanted word is a unique expression. Implanted is the Greek word actually it's E-M-P-H-U-T-O-N, if you're following along there in the Greek text. The root word is E-N-P-H-U-O, if you want to write that out. It is a word which means to generate, to produce, to grow. It actually means that a person has the ability to desire that which is going to change the person's life. The word comes from logistics or logic, logos, word, communication. That's what I'm using tonight to try to get over a message, and that is word. The scripture tells us that Jesus became the word and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go on in the verse. It says then, that has the ability. Now, let's look at the word dunamenon. D-U-N-A-M-E-N-O-N. That word is the present passive participle. You can see it. Accusative masculine singular of dunamai. Dunamai is a very interesting Greek word. You have various words that describe this. For instance, dunamen, dunamos. We get our English word dynamite from this word. It means something very powerful. This is God's word that has the ability to deliver the believer from disaster. As I said last Sunday morning, whatever we're to do, we're not to allow ourselves to become involved with what we call soul decay. Receive God's word on a daily basis, because when we do it, we will be the recipient of that which preserves and protects the soul from soul decomposition. We're to look in the mirror of God's word, the scripture says. And if we see something wrong there, we're to fix it. Now, that's a little general overview of this magnificent verse. Now that takes us down to the point where we can give you some points. The first one we're going to deal with is the part of the scripture that says in the implanted word. In meekness receive the implanted word. I have about 8 points I want to give you at this time. The scripture has to do with the soil of the heart. Number one, the soil of the heart must be prepared to receive the word. That's a very simple point. The soil of the heart must be prepared to receive the word. In other words, if we have any unconfessed sin, bitterness, we're to take care of that, because if we don't, we're not going to be able to properly receive God's truth. The soil of the heart must be prepared to receive the word. Now tonight I'm going to ask you to go with me to the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter. Will you turn with me and let's look at some magnificent verses of Scripture. It's been a while perhaps since you've looked at this, so it won't hurt us to do it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. I need to set the picture here. Jesus Christ has just gotten into a boat. He sat down, moved a little ways out into the water. There are a lot of people standing on the beach. And Matthew 13, 3 says, he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. Others fell upon the rocky places where they did not have much soil, And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. Matthew 13, verse 6, but when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, I would encourage you to write what I'm going to give you now. Out beside of verse 4, it says, some of the seed fell beside the road. I've written into my notes here, hard hearts. Hard hearts. The soil there is symbolic of a person who has a hard heart. He sowed, some seed fell beside the road. The birds came and devoured them. Hard hearts. Others fell, verse 5, upon the rocky places. Not much soil there. Immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. Out by the side of that, I wrote shallow hearts. Shallow hearts. Verse 6 says, when the sun had risen and they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. The next group is found in verse 7. Others fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked them out. And I put there crowded hearts. If you're writing out by the side of it, crowded hearts. Verse 8, others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Out by the side of that, I put fruitful hearts. Fruitful hearts. But I want you to see what the emphasis here is. It's in verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. If you have ears, physically, but most of all spiritually, listen. Hear. That's the reason why there's an emphasis upon hear. Accept. Retain. Apply. The first thing that I see here is in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. You know what I've discovered about this passage of Scripture? You really don't need to preach it. All you need to do is read it. Because it explains itself. So I'm going to read it. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to these people in parables? And he answered and said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he shall be taken, but what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Okay, I stop right there to tell you that it's possible for people to hear without hearing, see without seeing, and not have the ability to understand. The reason that is true is because people oftentimes are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they do not have the mechanism that is necessary to have the ability to comprehend spiritual truths. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Verse 14, and in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Verse 17, for truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear that, then, the parable of the sower. Begin looking now with verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it. The evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good ground, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If you will, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Point number one, if you're looking back at your point, the soil of the heart must be prepared to receive the word. As believers, if we have confessed sin in our hearts, bitterness against God, we must, of course, realize that we will not be receiving truth properly. Number two, this verse of Scripture, in the very middle of the verse, says that humility describes a quality of not being overly impressed by one's sense of self-importance. We've already said tonight that the word prates means meekness, a teachable spirit. Prates is a qualitative, gentle meekness. It could be described as consideration, restrained patience, patient trust in the midst of difficult circumstances. That's the meaning of the word prates. Humility is necessary. Number three, the essence of this word, prates, is the opposite of anger that has been discussed in the previous verses, James 1:19 and James 1:20. Prates is the opposite of anger discussed in James 1:19 and 20. So prates in James 1:21 is a gentle attitude which expresses itself in a patient submissiveness, free from malice, free from any revenge. It's laying out the welcome mat to the communication of God's Word. It results in, number four, a teachable spirit. No one, I believe, can ever find an English word to translate properly the word teachable spirit. A teachable spirit means to be without resentment, without anger, able to face the truth. The teachable spirit is not blinded by its own overmastering prejudices. The teachable spirit is not seduced by laziness. A teachable spirit is a person who has self-control, who accepts discipline, who desires to learn and obey the truth. A teachable spirit. When I looked at that word, teachable spirit, I wrote for myself these four thoughts. This person is humble enough to learn. This person is humble enough to learn. Secondly, this person is not blinded by prejudices. Thirdly, this person is not seduced by laziness. This person has a spiritual desire to advance, not spiritually lazy. And I looked at that word, teachable spirit. I wrote for myself a fourth thing. This person is self-controlled and disciplined in life. This word is unique in that it is used outside of religious terminology in non-biblical literature. This word is used to describe a horse that someone has broken and has trained to submit to a bridle. It's a picture of strength under control. When we make the spiritual application, it specifically speaks of a person being under the control of the Holy Spirit. I've also noticed something else about this. I've noticed that this is an attitude that a person has that deliberately places himself or herself under divine authority. Let's put that down as number 5. This is the person who puts himself or herself under deliberate authority of the Word of God. Now let's start over with the word dekomai. I made mention a few moments ago how powerful this word is. I emphasize that this word dekomai, if you'll notice, is a command. Let me give you about 7 points or 8 points here. Dekomai means to accept with a ready heart that which is offered. Dekomai means to accept with a ready heart the communication of God's Word. Secondly, this word means to receive with kindness, to take to oneself truth. I cannot tell you how fantastic this word is. I'm trying. Dekomai is the word here which means to accept with deliberate and ready heart dissemination of truth. It means, secondly, to receive the truth and take it, grasp it, and bring it to oneself. Thirdly, it means to give a warm welcome to the communication of the teacher. In other words, it means to give a warm welcome to the teacher as a guest, as a friend. Dekomai describes accepting truth with open arms, with an open mind, an open heart. It is not only hearing, but it is accepting. Accepting. That's the second word. Accepting. Number four, Dekomai describes accepting the Word of God with open arms, open minds, and open hearts. Number 5, the word Dekomai pictures putting out the welcome mat for God's Word. Putting out the welcome mat. Number 6, this word pictures one assenting to God's Word voluntarily. Now, the key word there is voluntarily. No one is being pushed, coerced. They are accepting the Word of God voluntarily. There's a willing act on the part of the hearer. I'm here. I want to learn. I'm ready. Please give me the Word. I'm here to accept it voluntarily. The saints at Berea are a great illustration of the meaning of Dekomai in Acts chapter 17. It says, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they dekomai, they received the Word of God with eagerness. And what I noticed about that word eagerness in Acts 17 is the Greek word prothumia. It's the idea of being ready and willing to have an inclination, enthusiasm, willingness to receive. Prothumia. It says, examining, searching, sifting up and down God's truth daily. That's Acts 17. Number 7. Dekomai means to have your heads with knowledge, but also your hearts with faith. Not only should we have truth in our heads, but we should have faith in our hearts. That's the meaning of dekomai. Let me quickly go to number 8. I may have mentioned this to you last Sunday, but in case I didn't, there are at least 56 other decalmies in the New Testament. I have the list here. Would you like to have it? All 56 of them? No, I'm not going to give it to you. There are at least 56 other uses of decalmai in the New Testament. Oh, our time is rapidly moving. Let's go now again to the next word, which is able to deliver your souls. I have to stop for just a few seconds on the word logos. English, logic, logical. It means something said and describes a communication whereby the mind finds expression in words. Logos is often translated word, something that is said, a statement, an utterance. But the Greek word logos is somewhat more complex than that. It in essence means the content of Scripture. It's the context word that is used to stand for Scripture in general. It is God's message. God's message implanted. I wrote myself a little note here. Read and study. But our time will not allow all of us to do that. We come down to the last. Deliver your souls, or save your souls. Now this verse of Scripture, as you all know, is written in relationship to believers. And so the saving of the soul is not salvation. This is an emphasis upon deliverance for the believer, that would deliver the believer from disaster, from a soul that is spoiled or decayed. I wish tonight that I could really verbalize this in such a way that you would go home and never forget it. Receiving God's truth, receiving God's mind, God's word, protects us and preserves us. If you want real protection in life and preservation in life, if you want to find yourself not spiritually decomposing, you find that protection and that deliverance in God's Word. I'm aware of the fact that oftentimes people say, "Do you folks ever do anything other than study the Bible?" And my question to that question would be, what else is important? Do you see? What really is important? When I think in terms of our children, and they're growing up, and how these children are learning and being taught the Word of God that's going to preserve and protect them for many, many days and weeks and months and years, you pray for the teachers who teach these children. And you parents have the responsibility every single day to see to it that your children have that which will bring them protection and preservation. Lay aside, put aside everything, all of the things that are insignificant, unworthy. These things that are evil, vicious, malicious, wicked, base, that which is depraved, vice, all of these things, dirty, filthy, defiled, sordid, corrupt, dishonorable, all of this, the things that would keep people from properly hearing God's Word, all these things, lay them aside. Because there's only one way to have the soul preserved and delivered. And that's by truth. God's truth. Whatever you do, protect your children. Whatever you do, desire for protection for your own soul by being consistent and faithful in receiving the impartation and dissemination of God's Word. My clock says it's 1 minute after 9. No one has changed my clock. So I'm glad that I've preached 2 hours tonight. May we bow for a moment for prayer. Father, thank you so much for the challenge of your wonderful Word. Help us to see clearly that the greatest preservation, the only thing that will really actually preserve us and keep us and protect us, is the ability for us to hear, to accept, to retain, and apply the wonderful Word of God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.